Everybody all right this evening? Is that good singing? If it was, say amen. I'd say amen for some of you who didn't say amen. I thought it was good. If you got Proverbs chapter 30, say amen. If you'd like to, stand to your feet. We're going to read one verse, but as we said, we invite you, or actually we'll read two verses. But we'll ask you to keep your Bible open if you'd like to. And this is what Agur, or how you pronounce him. This is what he said in verse number 15. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. 16th verse says, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire saith not, it is enough. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Lord, this evening. Could never thank you enough, Lord, for the beautiful songs that was sung. Lord, Father, I'm thankful for how they strum my heartstrings. Lord, I'm reminded that these psalms, these book of psalms, Lord, Father, we don't get the tune, but we get the words. Excuse me. Lord, I'm glad those words meant something in those songs. I'm glad they're real. Lord, I'm glad you're real. You're the only one who's true and living. All the other gods are fictitious, fake, and they're creation of man's hands. But God, you've made us. Lord, we're so thankful. But Lord, I find myself tonight, Lord, needing your touch, needing your power, needing your simplicity of the preaching of your word and your message to this. You know exactly what we need in our hearts. Lord, may I pray this, Lord, that all of our attention would be arrested and focused upon what you have to say. Lord, if I preach long, or Lord, if I do preach long, may it be, Lord, Father, that it would be, and I know you know how to do, Lord, Father, to keep our hearts focused upon the words that are going to be said. And Father, so I pray, Lord, have your way with our heart and have your way with us. And Lord, may we apply this to our life and see the importance of our day. It's in Jesus' precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I know it's an odd scripture to start off in Proverbs, verse number 30, or chapter number 30, verse number 15. But I'm looking through these scriptures as you've kept them open. I've noticed that this man is writing, and he's writing these scriptures, and he's writing, if you'll have it, about generations. He's writing about things that he would like to see and things he would like to have. But he's also writing about things that's going on in his current time period of his world. And I would say this, in these scriptures, he reminds us about things. He said, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And the Bible says in verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in its fist, in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Verse 5, he says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in them. He's reminding whom he's writing to, the words of Agur, the son of Jekah. He is even the prophecy of man, and he's speaking things unto him. He's writing these things about how powerful God is, how wonderful that God is. We find in these verses coming down, he says in verse number 7, he says, two things have I required of thee, and deny me them not before I die. And notice what he says in verse number 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. He's not asking for the excess. He's not asking for the riches and the wealth. He's not asking for the big house. Y'all listen to the preacher. He's not asking for the things that come with great responsibility. He says, Lord, just give me the simplistic things. Just give me the things that I need to live by, the things that I need in my life. May he, and I would say this, it sounds like he's realizing just exactly who God is when he says that God is pure and a shield. His word is pure, and he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He says in verse number 9, he says, or verse number 8, he says, remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that's convenient for me. In verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. He's saying, Lord, if I get too much, the first thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to forget all about you. He warned the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He says, you ought to be careful. He says, I'm going to bless you. He promised Abraham. He said, your seed's going to be blessed. He promised the blessing. He promised the upbringing upon them, and he didn't hold it back. He says, but I'm telling you, you're going to forget about me. When you get your houses all fixed up, you get your clothes all looking nice, and you got everything set and your mind set on what to do, he says, you'll forget all about me. And can I say, we're day and time, it seems like folks have forgotten about the Lord. You know, used to, people would say that their life revolved around God and around His Word and around His church, and now the Lord has become a byword. His card is now the next saying that I heard that makes perfect sense. Used to, the old timers say He was the spare tire, but it's now He's the ATM. When you ain't got enough cash on you, you drop by the bank, shove the card in, get what you need out just to make sure you can cover the bill. But friend, God is so much more than that. Can I say, in today's day and time, they're trying to make this thing, this life that we should have with God, things that it ought not to be. But a glutter, he's a writing, he's saying, don't give me things that's going to make me forget about you, God. Don't allow the things to enter into my life so I forget your ways and the ways that I ought to walk. Can I say this, Linda? For that to be preached in today's day and time would almost be like cussing to most folks, because we're living in the land, they say, of opportunity. But I find, Brother Ed, the opportunity has presented itself for people to get more than what they need and more what they can handle. And I'm not saying a person ought to give stuff away and do this and do that. But what I am saying, it seems like more and more and more, people's more concerned about what they can get more than what they can give. And God's the last one to be given to. I can go on through all these things, but notice he says in verse number 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doeth not bless their mother. Somebody say amen. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Y'all listen to the preacher. He says there is a generation in verse number 13, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Verse 14, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. Sounds like a whole lot like 2019. Sounds like we're living the days such as that. We find that we have a generation that says they're clean, but they have not from their filthiness. As we preached last Sunday, and it was preached hard Sunday morning, it was even preached harder Sunday night, about the life that God gives and how the life that God wants us to live. We know this for a fact, that some people don't like it no more. They don't think it's popular. But friends, you can't run with them and still walk with Him, as it's been said. You can't love righteousness without hating the iniquity. You can't walk any old way you want to walk and do the thing and eat from the table of the devils and still eat from the table of the Lord. We find that it's impossible to do those things. We find that Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. Either you'll serve the one and hate the other, or you'll love the one and despise the other. And I don't know about anybody else, but it's an alarming thing that I'm seeing, an alarming trend that what I'm seeing, that more and more people are saying, well, you ain't got to believe like them old timers believe. You're just as much as important to God as they are. You can believe it any old way you want to believe it, any way it wants to go and fix your lifestyle, and you just go on with yourself. But friend, there's a problem. Man doesn't set up the standard. Man is not the way to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if any man goes unto the Father, must first come by me. Jesus was the one who said that if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. I find in these scriptures that he's looking and he's reminding himself of where he's supposed to be. And we find in these scriptures here, and I want to say this and get to the crux of the message, in verse number 15. He says, the horse leech has two daughters, crying, give, give. Before I go any farther, does anybody know what a horse leech is? That's the only place in the Bible you'll find the word a horse leech. And it is what the word explains as it is. It's a horse leech. It's a leech.
Anybody know what a leech is? We all should know what a leech is. But these leeches are not like any other leeches. I have found that a lot of times today, and used to back in the days of old, they would use leeches for therapy. And y'all listen to the preacher. I don't know about anybody else. If I've ever seen a leech, I don't want none of them things getting on me. I know what they do. They're slimy and they're wiggly and they're nasty. I mean, if you've ever seen Paul see a snake, and run, that's how I'd be when it comes to leeches. And you say, preacher, why? They're slimy and they're nasty. They're just disgusting. But what they do is what really bothers me. They latch on with teeth. They find the places where it's real easy and places where it's in crevices and places that you do not see or expect or notice most of the time. And they latch on with their teeth. And they latch on and they will not stop. They will not stop until they get so much that they can't hang on no more. They don't stop till they're satisfied. They keep going, they keep going, they keep going. They keep sucking whatever they're getting out of you. They keep drawing that blood. They keep drawing that blood. They put something in your blood to cause your blood to get more thin so they can get more blood. And they're never satisfied. They keep drawing. And hopefully and finally, eventually, they get so fat, they get so nasty and big, they just fall off. But the problem is they're never by themselves. I find that this horse leech is common in the Palestinian area, in the Palestine area. They like to hang out in marshy places. They like to hang out where the water is still and stagnated and doesn't move. And can I say this? A lot of times people don't think it's a big deal, but when you hang out in the marshy places and you hang out where the water's stagnant, be very wary around there because the ground is not steady. The ground is not sure. You don't know what's leaking beneath the surface. Y'all listen to the preacher. I've seen many a people and many a things. I've watched many of those shows and I've been fishing and been in marshy places and step where I thought it was good and step where I thought it was solid. And I'd sink up to my knee trying to get out of it and pull my shoe out. Y'all listen to the preacher. You said, preacher, why are you preaching on things like that? Because I want to remind you of something in this world spiritually. There's places you think you might be walking that are solid footing. You might go to places you think they're right to go to. You might go to places that may not harm you. My friend, it's marshy, friend, it's murky, and friend, the water's stagnant, and you'll take yourself a step thinking that it's sure ground that you're putting your foot on, and the next thing you know, you're stuck in a mud hole, and who knows what happens beneath the surface and what might latch upon you. Y'all listen to the preacher. I find that these leeches have 32 brains. God help us. 32 brains. Some of us ain't got a full functioning one. And you've heard it said, somebody says, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Some of you shouldn't give a piece. You can't afford it. These leeches have got 32 minds. They said for each segment of their body, there's a piece of brain in their segmented body. They know how to grab with one end and bite with the other. And what happens when the horse comes along? It dips its nose and its mouth down to drink out of the water. And the leech grabs upon its tongue and reaches up and grabs into its nostril. And what they do, they latch on and they stay there till they keep drawing and drawing and drawing. The scripture says, I don't know about you, but the first time I started reading about the leeches and finding the thing about the leeches, if I hated them before, I hate them even more now than I did then. But I find that these leeches, it says it's got two daughters, so it's not by itself, it reproduces. And can I say, it's not satisfied neither. Offering says give, give. That means it's never satisfied. And can I say, when the leech is having kids and the kids are saying give, give, give and they're not satisfied, friends, you got yourself some trouble. I find in the scriptures when he says these things and these things crying give, give, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire is saith not, it is not enough. I don't know about anybody else, but when you hear these terms situated and the situation associated with the scriptures and with everyday life, I find that there's a lot of things in this life, but you can associate these things with things that go on. He says the earth is not never filled with the water, it's always taken in the water. And can I say, it's a lot like a lot of people's life. They keep bringing things in and putting things in. Look at the world that we're living in today. More and more and more. They've got to have the latest and the greatest things. They're not satisfied. They're never filled. I mean, I'm looking around and it stuns me that people will wait in line to pay over $1,000 for a cell phone, and that cell phone is obsolete within 2 years. The operating system doesn't function like it ought to. The phone's slowing down. You can't get your message. And you get bad on to fling that phone. But some people, Brother James, will get right back up early in the morning and they'll go and they'll wait in line for 2 or 3 hours to get the latest and greatest. Friend, can I say this? They're not satisfied on the inside. They don't have something on the inside. They have a longing. They're trying to satisfy them things with the things of the world. But friend, it's never satisfied. Oh, can I say, the barren womb, the one that's constantly saying, give, 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 the one that's wanting something for themselves, something they can say that is totally theirs, something they can say it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Oh, can I say this? The womb is not something that the mother should be saying is hers, but the Bible says the fruit of the womb is the reward of the Lord. It is something that God gives. Y'all listen to the preacher. I'm reminded as we preach what Hannah said. The Bible said Hannah wanted her a man child, and she prayed unto God. She said, God, you give me a man child, I'll give him right back to you. Can I say, we got more and more people, and hope it's y'all, but y'all pray for me now. We got more and more ladies today, more and more women today, who says they have more rights over their own reproductive organs and more rights over their bodies, that if they're pregnant, they'll kill that baby, they'll slaughter that baby, they'll murder that baby. And you tell people they can't do that. You tell them how many babies have been aborted in the United States of America. And there's some that say it's not enough. It's not enough. We need to kill more. We need to kill more and keep going and going and going. God help the United States of America. Something wrong somewhere and judgment's coming. I've heard many people say, preacher, don't you think it's awful what Hitler did to them Jews? I say, amen. And he's paying for it now. And somebody says, don't you think it's awful what Stalin did to all them people in Russia? I said, amen, it's awful, and he's paying for it now. And all them Christians and all them followers of the Lord that's getting hacked and beat, and the women being raped, and the kids are getting their skulls crushed in for the name of Jesus Christ, don't you think it's awful what them people are doing to them? I think it's absolutely awful, but them people that's doing it, they're going to pay for it. But God help the United States of America, we have aborted billions upon billions of babies. And everybody seems to think, most people seem to think, it ain't a big deal. I say praise God for the state of Missouri. I say praise God for the state of Ohio. I don't know why I've been on a political kick, but I ain't apologizing. I say praise God for the state of Ohio. Praise God for the state of Missouri. Praise God for the state of Georgia. Y'all ought to say amen right there. If you're saved, y'all say praise God. Hey, some people say, well, preacher, that's that woman's body. She has a right. I said it last Sunday. I'll say it this Sunday night. If you don't want to have no babies, don't go do it. It's babies. Amen. Don't know why, but I just feel like giving a little. I'm pro-life. And I'm not just pro-birth. Y'all don't want to get me on that again. I'm pro-birth and pro-life. I think they ought to be born. Somebody say amen. But you leave them alone after they're born. They got to be trained. They got to be loved. I read something, but people sitting there going, man, I can't believe he announced his calling and preached at 13 years old. I mean, some people might have thought he was Billy Graham at 13. And then he confesses and goes, I still like killing things. I like killing squirrels and skinning squirrels and deer hunting and everything. He was still just a baby. And somebody says, well, how in the world can God do that? Don't ask me. Go ask God. He's the one that does the stuff. But can I say, we're supposed to be pro-life. The womb is never satisfied. Why? Because they won't. But the fruit of the womb is the reward of the Lord. Notice that he says also that the earth is not filled with water, and the fire saith it's not enough. It says first, it says the grave. Come on, son, I don't want to skip none. The grave. The grave. What does Isaiah say about hell? Hell hath enlarged her borders daily. That was Old Testament scriptures. Hell's getting bigger every day back then. Wonder how big it would be now. What if Isaiah could see it now? How big it would be to what he first saw it. Brother Brad, this is the preaching that folks don't like to hear. Isaiah said, told that one king, he said, hell beneath has moved to meet thee, to greet thee. God help. I've heard people say, you ought not to say those things, preacher. You scare folk. I believe this. I think some folks need to get scared. I don't believe in scared religion. But the Bible says, save some with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Hanging the garments been spotted by the flesh. Can I say this? Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation that needeth not repented of. What did David say? David said his heart was broke. He had a fear of the Lord because he wronged God. We got a generation now. Not just young people, but old people. We have a whole population of people who don't fear the Lord no more. And hail daily is enlarging over and over and over again. My Bible tells me, and the Bible you're holding tells you, that straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few be there that find it. But the Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. I find that the grave, the barren wound, the earth is not filled in the fire. It's not enough. I read and saw on the news after all them tornadoes ripped through up north of Dayton. And they said, after it was all said and done, one person's house, not only was it not destroyed enough, the fire gets a hold of it and starts burning and burning and keeps burning and burning and burning. The forest fires that we had, that forest fire down in Tennessee, what they had to do, they had to start burning things around it before the fire could get there, because there was no way to stop the fire. It never stops, Brother James. It'll consume and consume and consume. Y'all listen to the preacher? I ask you to listen to me. Please listen to me. So, preacher, how does that fire associate with us today? It's the lustful thoughts of mankind. It's a fire that burns within themselves. It's a fire that'll burn people up. I read and saw this statistic and it bothered me. I saw a bunch of statistics. I don't know if they're true. I like to think that they are true. But I think that they're kind of tilted off. And I saw that it said that 46% of men, 46% of men once a month seek out pornography on their computers. 46%. That's almost half. Can I say it's going to hear a worse thing than that? It's higher in the church world. It's high amongst preachers. James is over his nodding his head. I'm telling you, it's bad. You young people, you middle-aged people, if we get a reputation of how, man, they preach awful hard on that fornicating and all those sins and things like that, hey, get us a t-shirt. Because Sister Vicky, that's what's killing people and taking them to hell. I'm not preaching this because I don't like you. I ain't just because I hate you. I'm preaching this because I love you. And I'm telling you what, every preacher that stands in his pulpit is preaching because they love you. And somebody says, well, preacher, we hear it all the time. Why do we got to keep hearing it for? Maybe it'll sink into your heart. Maybe it'll sink into your life. Some people may think this is crazy, but I think the Word of God works. Matter of fact, I know it works. But it's a fire that's never quenched. He's saying it's like a leech, Brother Logan. It latches onto you. It's not never satisfied. Sister Maxine, it destroys and it takes and it takes. I've never known an elite to give anything. He don't give you no gifts. He doesn't put a smile on your face. He doesn't leave a thank you card on the side of the spot of your body where it wound up and it was drawing from you. I will say this, but I do know that the things that we do and the things that we think are pleasureful, the things that we think that will add to us, they never add anything to us. Brother Brad, the only one thing that I found that I have ventured to put my life into that's ever gave me more than what I gave it was the Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. I gave Him my life. It wasn't much, but I found the trade-off has been in my favor ever since. He keeps giving. He keeps giving. And church, you can't outgive the Lord. But sin is like a leech. The riches of the world are like a leech. I think it's funny. They say we're against prosperity. I'm all for prosperity. I believe the Bible says we'll be prosperous. But if you think you're prosperous in earthly things is what makes you rich, you're crazy. Because if that was the case, Jesus should have been the richest man ever walked the face of the earth in earthly things. But the Bible says he that was rich became poor, that through his poverty we that were poor might become rich. Can I say this? The rich person had the higher standard, the higher position when it comes to the things of society. And y'all may think, well, preacher, I ain't got a high position in society. I know where you live. You live outside of Blanchester. Your name ain't too high and mighty in Blanchester School District. Hey, that's not where I want my position to be. My name's recorded in heaven. Woo! Bless His holy and righteous. ever asked me to say, preacher, you want to run for president? I'm like, why would I want to step down from where I'm at now? I'm higher than the president of the United States. Vicki Combs, you're higher than the president of the United States. The president of the United States, y'all may get mad at me on this. James, you pray for me. Man has admitted that he is an unrepented believer. He says, I've never had to repent. My Bible tells me unless you repent, y'all shall likewise perish. Can I say something? I've got access to the throne. I can call up the Lord any time of day, any time or night. I can call him up. I got a mediator between me and him. His name is Jesus Christ. And friend, we've got something better than what this world has to offer. We have Jesus. Hit me. Now, I'd rather have Jesus than to have a leech. That leech gets on that horse's nose. It makes it hard to smell things good. Y'all listen to the preacher? If Josh was here, he'd look at me and say, always comes back to food. Levi and them Curry boys playing Nerf War outside, playing Nerf War. Thank God they was playing Nerf War outside. Somebody say amen. Say amen. I'd playing video games or something. A bunch of y'all harp on them video games. Levi walks in. He walks by. He says, hey, Daddy. He goes, in the world, he says, I smell bacon. Caleb and Tammy said, it's gone. They done ate it all. But he could still smell it. The Bible says in that Old Testament, they'd offer up them incense offerings. Y'all listen to the preacher? It was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Smelling them things. Some people might say this is crazy, but I think there's a sweet smell. There's a sweet smell with walking with the Lord. I think the flowers smell better. Y'all listen to the preacher? I know some people can't stand honeysuckle, and all of our cars are brown and yellow around here because of the honeysuckle and the cottonwood, but I love the smell of the honeysuckle. I love that smell. I never could smell it before, Brother Tony. It's like I take the time to smell the honeysuckle. What's the old saying? Take time to smell the roses. But I forgot the good things of God that I can enjoy. But I've got something interfering with the way that I can enjoy the things of the Lord. I got something that's drawing from me, Brother Brad. Something that's not adding to me. And that reminds me the things that are latched to the tongue. They latch to the tongue of the horse. They latch to it. And can I say I've met more and more people now. And I ain't been saved that long. I've been saved 20 years. But I have met more people now who nameth the name Lord, and they still talk like they's not saved. Oh, preacher, you can't judge. Matthew 7 says you can't judge. Here's the news flash. Matthew 7 says you can judge. It tells you how to judge. Y'all listen to the preacher? What good would it do if I stood up here, Sister Vicki, and read out this King James Bible and you had to beep everything that I said? Beep and buzz, cuss, bad mouth, tell nasty pornographic jokes, or made fun of my wife and run her down the road. Y'all listen to the preacher? Quiet all of a sudden, isn't it? But if it's good enough for the preacher to talk right, Brother James, ain't it good enough for the church member to talk right? What's happened is they got one of them horse leeches on their tongue. And instead of it being just a horse leech, that leech is about the size of a horse. It's interfering with the way they're talking because they got too much of the things of the world, the pleasures of the world. They think that's going to do something for them. We're living in a day and time. Some folks don't like it. They get upset and say, preacher, I don't like that way of church. I don't like that way of living. I don't like those things. But friend, when the rubber meets the road and there's this thing that has to happen called death and people meet those things. I've had more conversations, Brother Eddie, about death with people who says, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm so uncertain about my departure. Friend, Jesus took care of my departure April 4th, 1999. I started right. Thank God I'm going to finish right. But friend, we're living in a day and time and grab the things of the world. It's been preached at great lengths from this pulpit. And Brother James said it last Sunday. I do believe it was last Sunday again. That whenever you mention Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody wants to go straight to the homosexuality. The debauchery and the immoral acts that was going on in those days. Lot and his wife offering up his daughters who had never known a man. What in the world got into their way of thinking? What kind of horse leech got into their nose and mouth to think that they could give up their daughters to satisfy the carnal world? Friend, can I say this? Moms and dads, don't you dare give your daughters to the world. Give them to the Lord. Don't give your sons to the world. Give them to the world. Give them to the Lord. But Sodom and Gomorrah didn't start that way. Sodom and Gomorrah started off having excess of bread. Didn't have to worry about how they ate, where the meal come from. Had excess of bread and idleness of time. That means they had so much time on their hands, they didn't know what to do. And they would not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They wouldn't do those things. And all those things opened up the door to all manner of sin and debauchery that came in. Sounds a whole lot like a horse leech. Sounds like a whole lot of everything that would be wrong. I had a whole lot of scripture I wanted to read. But you say, preacher, I've heard you say, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Y'all ready for the good part? Y'all want more bad? Y'all want to go home? Free ice cream. I knew I'd get somebody. Does anybody know the easiest way to get rid of a leech? You pour salt on it. Someone say, burn it. I'll take my chances with the salt. I'm not going to tell you what you can do with salt, but I do know this. With a leech, if you put it on a leech, they're slimy. They're gooey and they're ooey. They're wiggly, they're nasty. Y'all think they're nasty? Say amen. I'm just trying to get some help out of some of you all. Some of y'all look like you need a leech removed. You pour salt on it, it burns them. Drives them out. Drives them crazy. Drives them away. You know what Jesus said that we're supposed to be in Matthew chapter number 5? He said, we're the salt of the earth. He said, the salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing. Be cast out and trodden underfoot. And I love that. I studied that out about salt, man. I was like, whoa, that's nice. That's nice. Salt, you can't ruin salt. Salt's just salt. Nothing more, nothing less. But if it gets contaminated, it keeps it from being a little sprinkly and makes it into a big old chunk. So you got to keep from something contaminating, the contamination hurting it. I think the reason why, Brother Dom, we got a lot of Christians who ain't as salty as they should be is because they got some contamination going on. And I said it before, I say it again. Put Jesus in your life and he'll make you more salty, more salty, more salty. And I found in 1 Peter chapter number 4 was a good way for us to help each other with our leeches. And can I say, and before I go there, I want to say this and make this perfectly clear, I'll be hushed. Brother James, some people say they don't like it when preachers preach or when people get in their business, they think they're being nosy. But my Bible tells me if you see your brother overtaken in a fall, you that's spiritual, you should go to them and restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you likewise be tempted. I have a man tell me all the time, and I guess he says I'm kind of overboard when it comes to alcohol. And when I told him the reason why I'm against alcohol, then I told him the Bible reasons why I'm against alcohol. Because he still likes to take a nip here and there. And I said this, and I hope every Christian's listening to me. Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess. But be ye filled with the Spirit, is what he said. Right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How much liquor can you still drink and be filled with the Spirit? How many shots can you down? How many bottles of long necks can you hit? How many tall boys? And still be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Quiet all of a sudden. But see, we shouldn't stop there. because that's nitpicky. The one thing I don't want to be accused of is being nitpicky. So take out alcohol, put on the internet, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. What's the other ones? Did I miss one? Wasn't you listening? Man, I knew you'd get one. I got him, didn't I? I got him. What's Tony Hewlock at? Got him. Twitter. I'm joking with you. More and more people is drunk on the things of the world, and there's no room for them to have the Spirit of the Lord in their life to be filled with it. So that's the reason why we should come to church. To help get rid of them horse leeches. I saw Tony and Bella. I thought about Tony and Bella riding them horses. That's a pretty palomino and paint. I love them. They're pretty horses. And they's riding. But when that sheriff car came by and they's flashing, Sister Vicky, Tony's horse got a little shaky, a little jittery. And he said he wanted to get it home before them gunshots hit. It's really spooky. And I got to thinking like this. How much more jittery and scared and spooked would we be with them horse leeches hanging off of us? Taking everything from us, not giving us nothing. So we come to the house of God. If you got guys, 1 Peter chapter number 4, we'll go there and we'll hush. Try to anyway. I'm just glad I can walk in and out of the pulpit without suffering. Verse number 7 of chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." He gives us a list of what we're supposed to do. So here you get rid of any leeches that's crying, give, and never satisfied in your life. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." That means your mind needs to be clear. Get rid of all the things that's interfering with your mind. That's my biggest struggle. I get occupied. I get occupied with this, get occupied with that. And like old brother, I can't remember the preacher's name from West Virginia, James, what's that preacher, remember that preacher's name from Johnny, is it Johnny Jones? Johnny Jones paid $89.99 for it. He said, worst investment he ever made. He said he stayed up and watched Beretta all night, didn't he? And everybody's looking at each other going, what's Beretta? Most of us know what Beretta is, don't we? He said he got up that next morning. He was praying, trying to get a message from God. And he said the Holy Ghost talked to him and says, "Won't you spend more time with him?" And then he would go, "Amen." Big devil voice. But this tall, sawed off, white bearded man full of the Holy Ghost and power. But being sober minded means you're clear. When you keep your focus upon the Lord, when you keep your mind clear with just God, not your job, not how you're going to buy the groceries, not how you're going to do this and go on vacation, and all those things is good. But Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." He says, "Be ye sober and watch unto prayer." He says, "Keep your mind clear." I heard a man say this. He said, "Prayer is the most important thing, but it's one of the biggest struggles for every believer." He says, because when you get down to pray, things calm and everything's quiet and you go to pray, what's the first thing that happens? Something pops in your head. Did you leave the stove on? Did the oil get changed in the car? The grass needs mowed, and you struggle. So important to keep your mind clear and watch unto prayer. Y'all with the preacher? Say amen. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Above all things. That means this is priority. You've got to get this. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covereth a multitude of sins. He's writing unto believers. He says, if you guys can't have fervent charity for one another, you ain't going to have no fervent charity, let alone any charity at all for the person outside of the church who needs Jesus. Love one another. Preacher, I don't like the way they sing. Get over it. Amen. I like Holy Ghost filled songs, and I like singing songs that's filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. We got more and more people fighting and bickering church houses and believers fighting over things when they ought to be fighting for sinners to get saved. He says, above all things, fervent, not just charity, fervent charity. That means fire-filled, excitable charity. I don't know what else. I've heard Tina say it over and over and over again. So, Tina, I'm going to say it for you. You'd think that whole choir up there would smile whenever they're singing them songs. James looks like he's the only one having a good time up here. He's rocking back and forth. I think he thinks he's in a black choir waiting for the robes. He wants a robe. He wants choir robes. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking and some of you's going, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on. If them Bengals would ever win a Super Bowl, some of you would shave your head and tattoo a Bengal helmet on your skull. Yeah. You ain't got to worry about that. But fervent charity means you should be on fire for one another, the love of one another. Can I say this? And I hope you all receive this. Because there's people that's saved and born again that's going to be there when there's even not even family members that'll stick with you. They don't understand. They think that you think that you're better than them. I got people in my family that says, you just think you're better than everybody else. We know your life. And Sister Vicki, if my family was to tell you my life, you all would be shocked to death. And I looked at them and says, I ain't worth nothing. I've just been forgiven. I want to live my life this way so my kids don't follow my footsteps. I want my kids to sing songs of praise. Not George Cheatin Hart. And can I say something? I'm getting my button pressed right now. Y'all pray for me. There's some new song with Billy Ray Cyrus. Is that right? God help you. That man stunk back in the 90s. Well, y'all listen to him now again today anyhow. Eddie, you probably don't know what they're talking about. I'm talking about. Say amen right there, Eddie. See, Eddie will say amen. Fervent charity one for another. If we don't love one another, we can't sing the praises of God. We can't worship God. If we don't love one another, we don't want to be with one another. He says, above all things, fervent charity. Fervent charity. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Notice hospitality is a character trait that you would use to strangers. But Peter's reminding them to use that hospitality one to another. He's saying, treat each other right. You ever notice this? Sometimes some people treat strangers better than they do their own family. And I have to say sometimes I holler at my kids and Tammy at things that I should be like ripping some stranger's head off over, but I don't. He said, you should use hospitality one towards another. Notice he keeps referring to one another, to the believers. Towards each other. Why? Because it's the end. It's the end. Preacher, do you really think Jesus can come back at any moment? Just look at it. He's here. Faster than a moment in a twinkle of an eye. Boom. It's like that. Preacher, what happens? I don't know. I'm gone. That's all I'm telling. I'm gone. You all can argue out the particulars and the specifics. I'm gone. Bible says he's coming back for his own. I'm his own. I may not be his best one. But I am one of them. Somebody say, y'all be excited for that. He says, without grudging. Can I say this? If you've wronged somebody, or if you've been wronged, here's the best thing that you could do. Put salt on that leech and go to them and say, man, did you really mean it this way? I said something to somebody here a while back, but a couple weeks ago, and they thought I meant it a certain way, and I didn't. Y'all have to pray for me and come to me and talk to me. Sometimes I say some things and you think I'm meaning something and I'm not. But I will tell you, I didn't mean it that way. And if I hurt feelings, I'll tell you, I'm sorry. That puts salt on a leech and stops it right there. Stops it right there. He says that we should not be grudging one another. Verse number 10, he said, and as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We should be ministering one to another of the multiple grace of God. It's leaps and bounds. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. In verse number 11, this is what he says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I want to stop right there and say this. Don't come to me and give us your opinion. The Bible is our bond. The Bible is our language. The Word of God is the power that we yield. The Word of God is the sword that we carry. Some people say, well, it don't matter on what we read. It don't matter on that. I'm telling you, there's more and more people reading books that are written by somebody else. And if they would spend half the time in their Bible, their life would be a whole lot better. You'd still have the same problems. But you can go to Paul, you can go to Isaiah, you can go to Elijah, you can go to Elisha and find your answers because it's the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, I have nothing against other writers and things like that, but they're not the Word of God. Brother Brad gave me a book, I read that book, that's a good book about that heart, about having that heart, that burdened heart. And can I say this? But that oracle of God, some people say it doesn't matter, but I've heard more loose talking from pulpits and from people who are supposed to be ministers, and they're not speaking oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We do all this to uplift Jesus Christ. That's all. That's two or three salt shakers and a big old canister of the gal with the umbrella over her head in the cabinet above the stove to refill them with. That's enough salt to kill every leech in everybody's life. Hear what the preacher? I wonder how many leeches you all might have in your life. I'll be honest with you, I found some in mine. Some people may think this is crazy. That's the reason why I love church so much, Brother Art. That's the reason why I love it. I love being around church people. Even if we ain't get along good right then, I love being around them because it's a whole lot better than the company they used to keep before I got saved. Amen? Church is something important, something wonderful. Because this world keeps saying it's got plenty of things to offer, but they never give back. They're often. Horse leech. But when I went to dig, gives you the heebie-jeebie. It's bad enough they never stop sucking till they get everything out of you. Can I say this? I saw a video. It grabbed a hold of an earthworm. Earthworm's kind of brownish red, right? Before it inhaled him, it was pale. It took everything out of it that made it its color and then ate it. Can I say this? Somebody, that's disgusting, preacher. Sin's a lot worse than a leech. Sin's a lot worse than a leech. Paul, if we can come and get us a song. Musicians, come.